I'm seeing more and more kids that athletically are developing, but when it comes to the game itself, it's regressing.
We're welcoming back Tom Newell, just returned from coaching in China after the end of the season in the CBA. With the end of the high school basketball season here also, it is a good time to reflect, think about what's happened, and plan for the off season.
Well, Jay, first of all, I just want to welcome all our many, many parents and kids and coaches and officials and other people that have become fans of our podcast website and the blog. I can't tell you how the blog warmed my heart to receive so many people's responses and emails wondering when I was going to make new entries when I was in northeast China freezing in Changchun, known as Coldchun. Being in an environment where for 3 months the average temperature was about 10 below, it's just wonderful to be back where I can see the sunshine again. One of the things that Jay, we talked about that is a burden on my heart right now, being back here in the Northwest, is this time of season is really the new time of season for high school basketball for boys and girls, because the culmination of 4.5-5 months worth of practice and training and game preparation and competitions leads to postseason tournaments for some, and for others, disappointment and a disheartening experience in some cases. And I have a burden on my heart right now because I have been able to watch a number of basketball games at the high school level, 4A and 3A. And I feel that it's really important for us as a resource to parents and to the participants and the administrative bodies that make up this great activity to reflect ourselves on my absence and the hiatus from this area to bring it current so that we can start the spring summer and once again go in with a renewed and invigorating outlook towards improvement, both on and off the court, for both parents and for their student athletes.
Okay, let's start with the parents. They've had all the expectations at the beginning of the season, and now they see the results. What are you seeing from the parents?
Well, I think we have to go back to last summer. I think that parents today are making an investment in their child's roster spot on a team, and when they make that investment, it unfortunately it's financial, and it begins with AAU participation, being on an AAU team that plays in tournaments in the spring and summer, and you know, today you can choose teams to try out for and be a part of, and out of the results of that experience, the student athlete, may male or female, may end up having some measured success, and so that experience alone gives a parent or parents a glimpse of what they anticipate in their son or daughter's future success with the respective teams. And unfortunately, those expectations lead to frustrations, and I'm seeing more and more today, North America, a tremendous amount of pressure put on kids from having a measured success at the AAU level. And I think that we need to clarify some elements and principles in making financial investments related to playing on an AAU team and what those expectations and the reality of that is. Because I'm seeing more and more kids that athletically are developing, but when it comes to the game itself, the knowledge of the game and understanding how to play the game, it's regressing. And more specifically, I think in the areas of ball handling, passing, cutting, knowing what to do without the ball, defensively, communicating on defense, blocking out, the little things that really define what a team player is. And so I begin this with kind of a hearken to the parents out there that may be tuning into us, and other parents that say, hey, listen, you know, I listen to Jay Arnold and Guy Perry and Tom Newell on the podcast, and they went right to my heart on this one, and it really helped me. I think you ought to listen to it. The expectations, Jay, that I see postseason here is that the parents, the large majority, probably 80% of the parents, expectations on their son or daughter's team success and personal success of their own child was not met. And so out of that evolved a frustration. And when there's a frustration with the parent and their son or daughter with basketball on a high school team, it's really amazing to me because they don't hide it, you know. And when I say that verbally they may share things that they shouldn't share in the car or back home, or maybe even just abstain from wanting to attend a game because they're so frustrated with the coach, maybe frustrated with teammates that whose skills are not complementary of their son or daughter skills on the court. And by that I mean, you know, they may dribble with their head down and their son or daughter's open on a wing for a pass and they don't see it, and then when they do, it's too late. The defense is rotated or has closed the angle for a pass reception. And then, of course, the teams, the season's success or not, the frustration that sets in. And the one thing that I've always told my players when I've taught them, Jay, is that, don't ever allow yourself to be frustrated when you play basketball. It's a game of mistakes, and it's also a game that is imperfect, an activity that is imperfect. I said, but the one thing that you do, that you can accept and understand, is you can become irritated. And because when you're frustrated, we end up pointing fingers. We blame others. You know, we blame the official. We blame the coach. We blame there's not enough air in the ball. The lighting's bad. The nets aren't long enough. The rim's, off kilter. It's at an angle. You know, and so we point fingers. And when we do that, you know, now we've reduced the game to an individual game, and the basketball game is a team game. Now what I've done is I've absolved pointing the finger at others, and I go within. And there's nothing wrong with reflecting from within. There's a healing that comes from that, and there's a release. And I think parents need to understand that. They need to take the end of the season, just as we recommend our student athletes to do in all sports, to reflect on their season experience. And I always tell kids, you know, sit down, write down the things you learned about yourself and list them. The positive things, you know, about the season. There are three parts of the season, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And reflect on how you did in the first 10 games, the second 10, and then down the stretch. Did you get better or were you static? Did you just stay in one place? Did you find yourself improving? Did you find yourself being able to evolve more and more as a leader in the locker room, on the bench, being positive with teammates that came out? Did you accept your role on the team? Were you satisfied that you really did give it your best in practice and in games? However many minutes you played, were you an effective teammate? And I think that parents need to do the same thing. Was I positive towards supporting the coaching staff? Was I positive towards supporting my son or daughter's teammates on the team? Did I turn a deaf ear when parents would say critical things about the coach and technically make statements, you know, that would bring down the team, and knowing that it would get back to other players how the parents feel about the team and this, that, and the other? Because I will tell you this, I mean, the Navy had a saying, the United States Navy had a saying way, way back in the day, that loose lips sink ships. Well, if we take a look at a team being a flotilla and everybody, you know, in the same boat and what have you, all it takes is for one or two people to parrot what they're hearing from others, and unfortunately adults, and it brings everybody down. And the person that's affected the most are the coaches themselves. And I'm not saying that all coaches are right, but I am saying that the coach is not getting paid professionally to the level of college coaches or professional coaches, that they warrant that kind of disrespect. And I think that the parents need to just rein in a little bit and bite their lower lip or bite their tongues when it comes to talking about what they see on the court. I will tell you this, Jay, and I mean this sincerely. I will challenge any parent privately or openly in a quorum, in a symposium, about their behavior and about how they feel when it comes to coaches and their system and players that may take too many shots or this, that, and the other. I'm seeing more and more kids that can't dribble the ball with their offhand, cannot create separation with the dribble, that end up taking panic shots, make panic passes, and just don't know how to play. And that does not fall on the coach. I'm sorry, okay? The coach doesn't have that much time with his players anymore because of the rules that they have in high school basketball. And once the season's over with, they move on to another sport, and the coach doesn't have any contact on the court with his players until 2 or 3 months later. And even then, it's interrupted because kids are playing on augmented all-star teams. I will say this. There are very, very few teams in AAU basketball today that are teaching players how to play the game properly. They're playing 3 or 4 games a day. They're practicing 3 or 4 times a week, but they're playing. They're not learning anything. They're not honing the necessary rudimentary skills to be successful when they come back with their basketball teams in the fall and in the winter to compete for a championship or even have a successful season. So I'm telling the parents, I'm putting it on you right now. If you have had a problem of being outspoken and sitting in the stands as fans and being frustrated with officials that work the game and wanting a whistle and then also wanting to have a clipboard or wanting to talk about the game technically, you need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and release yourself from being critical of coaches that are in the position of leading your children on and off the court and making right choices. Okay? How's that for a simple way of sharing my irritation and frustrations with parents today in basketball?
Tom, I can hear your frustration. I can hear this passion about this as you're pounding the microphone.
I hope they, hey Jay, I hope they don't all band together and then buy me a ticket to send me back to Changchun and hope that I go in a deep freeze again.
I like the approach that says you look internal. Let's say I'm a parent, I'm frustrated, but I've let go of those expectations. But I also see that my son or daughter is frustrated. What could a parent do in a positive way?
Well, I think there are a couple things. One is I think that the parents need to encourage their kids to sit down, just as I stated before, and list the things that they learned from the season, you know, the positive things about themselves, about their teammates. And you know, what did they see as an improvement? And then on the other side of that piece of paper, that sheet of paper, then list the things that they didn't like about the game, the things that weren't fun, okay, albeit maybe practices or maybe games that they didn't play and they felt abandoned, you know, because they weren't a part of. And what did they have control over in terms of emotions? You know, could I have been a better teammate, encouraging, exhorting my teammates, being attentive in timeout so that if somebody did get hurt, I was ready to step in. And I think when parents are able to do that and have their child reflect, have their student athlete reflect and share what they feel from within, now I think the parent can have a better understanding of how they can help their son or daughter in the spring or summer. And I'm talking about undergraduates, and we'll touch on those kids that are seniors and whose high school careers are over with and they don't have an opportunity to continue playing. But for those that are sophomores going to juniors and becoming seniors, I think the most important thing is the parent, what can I do on my end to help my son or daughter continue to develop? And the first thing that comes to mind is making sure that if you are going to make that financial commitment to an AAU program, that you really do your homework. And we've talked about this before, and we put it as a download on our Family Sports Life today, the tryouts, you know, and the anxieties that go into tryouts and what one can do in preparation for tryouts. But I think in part to that AAU experience, I think parents need to look into the investment of being able to be taught by a very qualified and able teacher of the game. And one that comes to mind is Michael Johnson from Hoopaholics in Seattle, for those people that are in the Northwest. He's a protege of mine, and he does a wonderful job in taking middle school kids and high school kids, and even works with college players from time to time. Former University of Washington standout team player, one of the all-time leading scorers in high school from Ballard High School, and just a wonderful spirit and student of the game. And Michael has given himself to wanting to provide a platform and a template to help kids improve their skills, and he teaches the game on a team, on an individual, but a team understanding level. So that is just not taking the young person and making them an independent figure that's solely oriented towards offensive prowess, but giving them the opportunity to develop the necessary team player skills that will incorporate into the team concept when they are playing AAU basketball, and also with the respective high school team.
We also have a checklist on reflecting at the end of the season that an athlete can use and help guide them through this process. Also, for AAU programs, we have information that helps parents choose the right select program. Both of these are on FamilySportsLifeToday.com.
Jay, the other thing I wanted to talk about when it comes to reflections are the players themselves, okay? And I think it's just really important that, you know, we touched on it briefly about taking a sheet of paper and listing the things that you like, didn't dislike. But I think what's really important is that the kids themselves understand that just because the season's over with, you know, don't dismiss it. You know, I've always found as a coach and even as a player, and I learned this a long time ago from my father, Hall of Fame coach Pete Newell, how important it is to reflect on one season. You know, the personal success or not, you know, what did I experience from being on the team? You know, did I get better or not? What did I have control over? You know, was I really excited about being a part of the team? And if I wasn't, then was that because I was listening to somebody else, parroting or upset about the way their season was going and their role on the team? And I think that when we have that reflection, I think it helps us grow, as a participant in the activity, and it makes it that much easier for us to understand where improvement can be made, when it comes to the game. The next thing is that if we have parents that are really down on a coach, you know, and they can't seem to, you know, take the finger away from blaming the coach, and they've gone through two coaches or three coaches, and they continue in that cycle of wanting to blame the coach for their son or daughter's lack of success, you know, I say that's a bunch of baloney. I mean, I'm seeing kids that, you know, played AAU ball 60, 70 games and still are out there and manifesting the same problems athletically that they have improved upon themselves in the offseason, such as conditioning and such as making correct passes. I mean, kids don't practice passing. They just want to shoot threes and want to shoot jump shots. They don't know how to get separation. It isn't that they haven't been taught. They don't practice it. And so, you know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. It's real easy to blame, you know, somebody for a fire, you know, when it started. And you go, well, somebody must have started the fire. Well, it could have been an electrical short. It could have been, an act of God. But you know, what happened to you in the off season that you had control over that could have made you a better team player? And there again, it goes back to, did you play AU ball, and what did you learn from playing AU ball? What did that coach teach you or not to make you a better team player? And unfortunately, I'm finding more and more kids playing AU ball that are just happy to have a uniform, be on a team, play three games or four games in one day, you know, run up and down for 40 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever the role is, take, you know, 15, 20 shots, and yet not get any better, you know, and yet there's $4,000 or $5,000 that's invested being on a team, and parents traveling and taking a little mini vacation on a weekend with their kids and not showing the same frustration towards that coach, you know, that AAU coach. And yet they should be. If you want to be critical of the AAU coaches. And I'm pointing the finger right at AAU coaches. I don't really care what they think. They can come right at me if they want. I'm telling you right now, AAU coaches have more responsibility in the development of players today in high school basketball than ever before. If they're going to take the responsibility and collect money to put kids in a program where they're playing games, then they better get off their butts and start teaching the game and quit coaching them on weekends, period.
Thanks for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today program, please give us a call and we'll try to use it in a future episode. Or send us email, familysportslifetoday@gmail.com.
And please visit our website at familysportslifetoday.com. You can listen to these programs online or subscribe and download them to your iPod or other MP3 players. If you subscribe, you will automatically receive future episodes.
Hey coaches, hey parents. Hey kids, thanks for listening. Take care and have a great family sports life today.